Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Good morning. I want you to know I've been praying for your church. I've known your pastor since college. So just know I have been praying for you. All right. Got to spend some time with him again and at the couples camp, at the couples retreat this weekend. My wife and I are on the committee for that and have been the last 10 years. And so it's just been fun to hang out with Pastor Randy and I just think back to the North Central days. So I just laugh at him. So he threatened me not to share any of the stories because he knows how to get to a missionary's heart because he'll just go, pull monthly support. I'm like, okay, that won't do anything. So, but it is a joy to be with you. It's been an amazing journey for us the last several months as God has been stirring in our hearts. We'll be working with the National Youth Alive Director. What our new missions position is to take on the foundation of Youth Alive, which is challenging students to be a missionary to their school. Our ministry part of Youth Alive called Campus Missionaries. And so we'll be coordinating that nationally. And really, they're on the front lines of reaching their generation. It's teenagers reaching other teenagers. That is the front line. And that's their heroes to me. In the culture in which they live, teenagers are my heroes. And that's what made this as difficult of a decision, because we love Wisconsin. We love what we've been doing. So it's made it so hard. But it's made it the easiest to step into is to step forward for the heroes that are doing things even in our own district and to say, for them, if nothing else, for them. And I want to honor their faith. And in fact, that's one of those things that it was such a rich moment at one of our youth camps when I could look out and see a couple campus missionaries that in the crowd at that camp. And this campus missionary I was looking at last March, her name's Kelsey. Last March, for her campus club at Oshkosh West, wanted to get us in. Like, you guys have the great blessing of having Reggie come in next week. I'm excited for you. It was one of those fun weeks I had a little over a year ago, meeting with the principals in the area. And Sparta I wasn't even planning on hitting on first. We were planning on just trying to get into as many lacrosse schools as we could. Only half of the lacrosse schools decided to bring Reggie in. And so that's what enabled Monday to be open for you guys. And you just know it's a God thing. And so it's amazing that not only will Reggie be with you guys here on Monday in Onalaska, but he'll be in Holman, West Salem, and several of the lacrosse schools. And so Kelsey has had a dream of wanting to get a school assembly in her school at Oshkosh West to support what she's doing as a campus missionary, to support what they're doing as a campus club. And so they decide, let's start raising some money. And so they did a brat fry at the local Walmart. Unfortunately, this is March of last year. Unfortunately, they picked the weekend in March that had one of the biggest snowstorms blow through. And so I don't know if it was sheer pity of the people that braved the snowstorm, but they amazingly, I mean, I'm thinking with my youth pastor, former youth pastor hat, on a snowstorm in Wisconsin at a Walmart doing a brat fry, I think you'd probably do well to do a couple $100. Amazingly, they brought in over $1,200. Towards the end of the day, a gentleman approached Kelsey saying, what in the world are you guys doing? What's your group? Kind of wanted to figure out, what is a group of students doing selling brats in the middle of a snowstorm in Wisconsin, right? And this businessman just began to talk to her, and Kelsey began to tell him their dream of what they're wanting to do with bringing in a school assembly. And the guy goes, I love that. Here's my card. Call me on Monday. Let me know your totals when you're done. And amazingly, she called him up on Monday after school, told him, hey, we did $12,050 or $1,250. And he goes, that's awesome. I'm doubling it. So in the midst of a snowstorm, they raised $2,500 towards their school assembly. So on November 6th, I'll be going in along with your new Youth Alive missionary, his name's Joe Kessler. We're going into Oshkosh West doing a set of school assemblies. Another one, we have Reggie that we bring in, but we also do one called the 7 Project, which mixes multimedia, video, and speakers. And Joe and I will be going in there in November, November 6th. And so it's fun to be able to step in right there to be able to support a campus missionary and their efforts. Reggie will be doing that here because you have students out of your church that at youth camp and youth conventions in the past have committed themselves to be a campus missionary. Reggie becomes part of an answer to their prayer. And yet Reggie is nothing but a flash in the pan. The 7 Project is nothing but a flash in a moment. Even a campus club is nothing more than like a flash on a picture when you're taking a picture. What truly lasts is students living it out with their friends day in and day out. Nothing will ever surpass that. And so that's where even this week, you'll see the 7 trailer parked in with the Tahoe parked out in your parking lot. As I leave your service today, and I'll be heading over to Milwaukee. We're doing a huge tour this week. We'll be in 7 different schools over from tomorrow through Thursday in the Cedarburg, Mequon area, just north of Milwaukee. And we'll be speaking to probably about 7,000 students this week. And it's just a great time. And so I'm excited for you with Reggie. Reggie is my roommate in college. And so actually, I feel sorry for you. You're going to have a great time. It'll be an incredible week. So God's bringing some things together. And it's one of those, like for that teenager that I shared with you about Kelsey, that's why we took our step of faith. Because there are so many students there today, even in this service, that begin to think that God couldn't use me. That there's no way God could use me. And it's been an amazing thing, too, as Reggie's popularity has grown. I just know him as my fathead roommate from school. But as Reggie's been able to do Promise Keepers, many different Promise Keepers events over the last decade around the nation, one of the things that I remember talking when Reggie did Milwaukee a few years ago, I went, Reg, because I kind of was surprised. A lot of what he did at the Promise Keepers was stuff he does in the school. So I was either ribbing him a little bit, come up with some new material, or I was just going, why do you use the same stuff? And I remember Reggie saying, Kent, he goes, a lot of these men at these Promise Keepers events are just grown-up boys. They're still struggling with the same issues that they had when they were in high school. And so that's one of those things, too, that as I'm speaking to you today, you know, God wants to use you, even though you don't go to a campus every day, in your workplace, in your neighborhood. God still has a dream for you to be a missionary where you are to be. And so that's part in our dream, is what can we do to raise up the level of our churches? To think missionally. That every day God has a plan and a dream for your life. And that's what we want to be able to convey to not only teenagers, but in opportunities like this, is that God has a dream and a plan for your life. I want to show you a quick video. This is one of our national videos that we created just to kind of set the vision. Because I can tell you about what a campus missionary is, but I'll let a student do that. Is that okay? So watch this. Go ahead.
Hey, yo, check this out. School? It's more than homework. Thank goodness. Gotta do it. Gotta give it my best. But it's not just about books. And it's definitely not about cafeteria food, if you can even call it food. Practices seem to consume me sometimes. I know they consume you too. I see you practicing all those hours. Everyone from the cheerleaders, to the band members, to the speech and debate, and me and my boys on the football field. I mean, don't get me wrong. I want to be my best. I want to win. If I try hard enough, I win another state championship. Get another ring, 2 years running, baby. But for what though? So someone else can eventually beat my records? I know it's going to happen someday. Next year, I'll be graduated, and there'll be a new captain of the team. A new BMOC. I'll be forgotten soon enough. It's more than just something to survive and get through so you can go to college or get a job and a paycheck. It's about doing what you're called to do. A lot of my friends just can't wait to get out. They say they want to live in the real world. To me, this is about as real as it gets. I know people that party and make decisions that wreck the rest of their life. It doesn't get any more real than that. But for now, I'm here. And I'm going to do my best with the opportunities that God has given me. You see, school is more than people think it is. Oh, much more. It's an opportunity of a lifetime. A chance to change someone's life forever. That's why I'm committing to be a campus missionary. I'm committing to reach my school with the love of Jesus. I'm committing to pray, live, tell, serve, give. So for now, I guess I am the BMOC, the big missionary on campus. Later.
It lays out the heart of what it is to be a missionary. You know, I did notice something back there at the baptismal tank. Pastor Randy likes golf, doesn't he? But he does tell me he has a nasty habit of finding water. For some reason your baptismal tank is full of golf balls. I don't know why, so you need to ask Pastor Randy about his shot-making ability. But that's the passion of reaching teenagers. It's students capturing a dream that God can use them. God can use anybody in this room today. God just doesn't look so much at ability as much as he does at availability. Are we available? To say, God, use me as you would wish. Because when we begin to do that, dreams begin to take flight. And my wife, I wish Stacy could be here today. One of the amazing parts in the last several months as we stepped into our new missionary venture is it's scary. Scared spitless is probably even a better word. When you're stepping out into taking new territory that God calls and speaks to your heart about, for us, this step is requiring us to go to raise right off the bat. We have to have $3,000 a month in monthly support additional to what we've had. And it's like, okay, where's that $3,000, Lord? Our banking account's like everyone else's. Not much there. And it's just been amazing watching God flex his muscles into the tune that just in a private foundation that's been supporting our campus missionary efforts. It's just been amazing. Every student that's signed up to be a campus missionary, whether at camp or youth convention the last several years, we've been able to hand them resources at camp to the tune in just the last couple of years of close to $45,000 worth of resources equipping teenagers across our state. We currently have 1,500 campus missionaries across Wisconsin, northern Michigan. That ties into over 15,000 campus missionaries that we have nationwide right now. And we're just scratching the surface. Well, this private foundation that's been helping us here out of Wisconsin, it's in Milwaukee, as I began to share with them our change, this is back in July, that we were going to go national to raise up campus missionaries. I was just hoping that they'd keep supporting what we'd been doing in our state. But they kind of shocked me a little bit. And it became an answer to the prayer, in part, of what, is this really you, God, or is this some bad pizza I got at the snack stand at Spencer Lake? What is it? God just keeps confirming his path. This foundation began to share with me, said, can't we do stuff nationally? We don't do stuff just in Wisconsin. We do things with groups like Acquire the Fire, Dare to Share. And you just need to know, we like those organizations, but we really love what you've been doing with campus missionaries. We want to walk with you nationally. And I began to share with them a dream that I'd love to create for teenagers of an animated gospel presentation. We'd be able to put it into different formats, like a website, put it on into applications where students could pass it around on Facebook and MySpace. We could even upload it just as a video up on YouTube that they could pass around. And even make it downloadable so that students could use like iPhone and iPod type devices and pass it around like a track wirelessly. And I just began to talk to them about this animated dream. And they said, and in fact, in a roundabout way, if we do it right, it could actually train our students to share the love of Christ. And that's the one thing that I feel like we're missing. I was just like burning in my heart saying, we're missing this, that students can just have something and just take and share their faith. And just be able to be confident in knowing that they're communicating what Christ has done in and that through their life. And so this foundation said, Kent, we will partner with you on that. Can we get the application on this by the end of this year? Is that something we could do this year? And I started laughing, going, no, I've got to raise $3,000 a month. It'll be a while. And they said, well, what can we do to help you? And they set up a matching funds so that they're matching, and it was amazing. They set this up. They said, we want to do this for you. Get us an application by next week. I think we could help you. And sure enough, they did. They established a $25,000 matching funds, and they're matching all of our honorariums and love offerings that we're receiving until we reach that $25,000. That's the life of breath right there, of time that we needed, so that we can approach individuals and churches to say, would you stand in the gap with us monthly? Is that not amazing? I mean, you just sit back and go, God, you are too cool. And to already have somebody in place to walk with me to help fund that dream of an animated gospel presentation. They're standing, they're waiting. Even in this economy, I just spoke to them this last week. This foundation is still saying, we're ready. We're ready. And so, and then even hearing today of a young man, a college student that Sue was sharing with me about that is gifted animation. I'm just saying this publicly. I need his contact information. So, Mom, see me? Make sure I get his contact information, because that's the type of students we need to create this. That I can envision is that it'd be a young person helping do this. Younger. So it connects to this culture of teenagers in look and in feel. And so it's just amazing. And I know God has dreams. He has dreams for all of us. One of the parts of the last several months as God's been dealing with my wife on this, in this whole change, some of the things he began to prompt questions in our heart was, 20 years from now, Kent, 20 years from now, what do you want your regrets in life to be? Do you want to have regrets of what could have been? Or more regrets over the choices that you made? And I want you to think about that, because the perspective is huge. Too many people end up at the end of their life with regrets of choices that they wish they would have made. Not just mourning over the choices that they did make. And you know, if I had to opt between the two, I'm going to go for the second. That I'd much rather have to deal with it by the choices, by being aggressive, by the choices that I made, than rather going through life going, boy, I wish I would have done this. I wish I would have tried that. Too many people waste their life with I wish I could have or I should have. And so that's really what it came down to. And I know for you, God doesn't want you to live life with regrets like that either. Turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 1 Kings chapter 6. And I encourage you as you do that to stop by our table out in the foyer. That way you can see some more information about us. For all the teenagers, one of the things that this gospel presentation, the animated gospel presentation that I'm talked about, is the last several years at Youth Convention, we've given students in some format something to use. Last several years, before last year, 2 or 3 years ago, we gave students rubbered wristbands that just said, ask me on it, like the Lance Armstrong wristband. All it said was, ask me on it. That's it. And the whole purpose was, and it was kind of fun, because students would wear those wristbands, and then they'd totally forget that they have it on. And then people would read them, and they'd go, ask you, what am I supposed to ask you? Ask you what? And then it gave them the perfect opportunity to say, I'm glad you asked. Let me share with you about the greatest thing that ever happened in my life. And they have an opportunity to share and witness about Christ. They get the unsaved asking the question. And that's going to be part of how we develop this animated gospel presentation, is developing this, ask me. Because that whole gospel presentation will start with floating questions that students ask every single day on the inside. Some of them they don't verbalize. And they'll connect to the whole process of watching what Christ can do in their life by asking the questions that they ask on the inside of their heart every single day. And so last year we gave students lanyards, because a number of schools have require students to carry an entry pass, some ID, kind of an ID badge. Some schools do, not a lot, but some do. So we developed something that they could clip onto their lanyard or their backpack, and it just says, ask me on it, very creatively. So we have students that have tied this on their backpack or they wear it around their neck, and it just creates conversation because they'll sit there and say, ask you what? So it gives them a great opportunity. So these are, I have a bunch of these free on the table. So students, if you'd want one, please take them. And stop by our table. We have all of our information there. You can take some of our, you'll see a picture of my family. That's our prayer card. So take some of those. At the bottom of that prayer card has our website where you can stay up to date on what God is, where we're going and what God is doing in our ministry. So I encourage you to do that. 2 Kings chapter 6. I said 1 Kings. Sorry. Bad preacher. 2 Kings chapter 6. How many of you have had a bad day this last week? All right. For you bad day people, all right, I'm bringing hope today. Because you need to know, for me, I look, because I have bad days, but to help me cope with bad days, I look for bad day stories that are worse than some of my bad days. Because then I can sit back there and I have something to go, okay, at least my bad day was not as bad as this. And so, and I will already tell you this, some of your couples that are from your church here that are at couples camp are going to be asking you about this story, all right? So just be prepared, because I told them when they found out I was going to be here today, they're like, what are you going to tell them? What are you going to do? And so I just teased them a little bit. So you're going to have to tell them the rest of the story. But here is one of the worst bad day stories I've ever heard. Ran into a guy. His name is Paul. Paul is a speaker, a lot like myself. Ran into him in Branson, Missouri. And he began to share about his bad day. And Paul got this opportunity to speak at a plush resort in Taos, New Mexico. And it was, this resort had its own private road from the highway. It meandered over hills, through trees, come up over this big crest of a hill, and there at the bottom, nestled right at the feet of the Rocky Mountains, is the whole resort complex. And all you see behind is ski hills and the Rocky Mountains. Gorgeous. Now, like me, tonight as I go to Milwaukee, I'll be in a hotel that has a hot tub. I am a hot tub connoisseur. I will just tell you that right now. It's 104.6. And if you get that hot tub temperature just right, hot tubs are perfect. And my friend Paul is like that. He loves hot tubs. Well, he found out at this resort, all the hot tubs are up on the roof of this hotel, a resort. And so there's just several of them. And so he already began to dream. He'd get done speaking about 10 o'clock at night. He'd be out there underneath the stars, the moon hitting the snow-capped Rockies. He's just sitting there going, this is awesome. So he's getting excited. Well, as he looked at his watch, he realized if he would skip dinner, he could get a double dip in. Go hot tubbing for a few minutes, then go speak, come back, hot tub some more. See, now I would do that. I would skip dinner to hot tub. Well, my friend Paul ran to his room, got checked in, changed into his swim trunks, grabbed a towel. He was up there into the tub. Well, there's always a moment with everybody when you're hot tub that you've had too much hot tub. You know what I'm saying? You just too much heat and you got to get out. It's different for everybody, but there's always that point. Well, Paul had reached that point and he went to get up and something snapped him back down. And he couldn't figure it out. But somehow when he slid into the hot tub, the edge of his swimsuit went right along the edge of the tub and the jet and became wedged. And so the more he worked to free himself, the more stuck it became. And so finally, he could hardly move, and he just knew he had to get out. So he did what any of us would do. Looked around. He's the only one up there. He got up, leaving his swimsuit in the hot tub. But that's okay. Yes, he's naked, but that's okay. He at least had his towel, right? Well, this is where his bad day went to really bad. That's when he realized he had grabbed the hand towel, not the bath towel, all right? So immediately he begins to, kind of get himself positioned from the front doors in case anybody would walk in. And so he's covering himself and he's like, oh man, I guess I'll make a run for it. So he reaches back down into the hot tub, fiddles around in the pocket trying to find the room key. That's when he realized he'd left the room key in the room. There is no way he's going to the front desk. standing at the front desk. Yeah, not going to happen. So he's sitting there trying to figure out what is he going to do. There's these little brown things every so many feet, kind of like the monitors. They're just kind of just different parts. So it's the only place to sit down, so he sat down. After a while, he kind of laid down, and he's trying to think, what am I going to do? But don't worry, he was laying down, but he was covered up. Every once in a while, a breeze would come by, but he held it down. And have you ever had days like that? When you're laying naked on a roof and you have that feeling that people are staring at you? Do you ever have days like that? I'm glad you say no. I was in Baraboo doing a Sea at the Pole rally last year. 300 kids said, yeah, I do. So don't ever, I'll just tell you this, don't ever look at the roofs when you drive through Baraboo, Wisconsin. You'll probably see some naked teenagers. Anyway, there, Paul's laying there a few moments. All of a sudden, the door flew open to the roof there. And there was a hotel employee, and this was a fancy resort. It had the logo of the resort all stitched on the pocket right here. But this poor worker, he's a little itty-bitty dude from India. And his eyes just went big, like deer in the headlights. big, seeing a naked man laying there on the roof. And all of a sudden, he's like, oh, my goodness! Oh, my goodness. And he began to walk back and forth. Oh, this is not good. This is not good. And he just kept walking back and forth. And my friend Paul's like, dude, calm down. And my friend Paul's from Northern Arkansas. So he's got this twang, you know, his voice. He goes, dude, chill out. I know it looks funny, but can you get me in my room? And this poor guy from India just was oblivious. He just kept walking back and forth going, oh, this is not good. This is not good. And my friend Paul's like, dude, chill out. He goes, no, you don't understand it. You're laying on the dining room skylight. So if you thought you had a bad day, the only thing my friend Paul could say is, well, it's a good thing I wasn't laying on my tummy. And that is true. That is true. So my friend Paul got to speak and everybody got to see his moon side of him. So so if you ever thought you had a bad day and you don't think your bad day can get any worse, all right? Just at least go like I do. Well, at least I wasn't naked up on a roof. So, and that does bring me to another bad day story. 2 Kings chapter 6. Let's look off at verse chapter 1. The company of the prophets said to Elisha, look, the place where we met with you is too small for us. Let us go to the Jordan where each of us can get a pole. And let us build a place there for us to live. And he said, go. Then one of them said, won't you please come with your servants? I will, Elisha replied, and he went with them. They went to the Jordan, began to cut down trees, and as one of them was cutting down the tree, the iron axe head fell off into the water. Oh, my Lord, he cried out. It was borrowed. Verse 6, the man of God asked, where did it fall? He showed him the place. Elisha cut a stick, threw it in there, and made the iron float. Lift it out, he said. And then the man reached out his hand and took it. Lord, may you take the remaining moments of this service that we have today to help us clearly see that, God, you care for every single part of our life, in the good moments and in the bad. You care for us with all the weaknesses that we have and faults in our life. You carry and love us in spite of that and through that. God, may your word just be that double-edged sword this morning to pierce through every part of our life, to help us be the man and the woman of God that you have called us to be. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. I love this passage because here's another bad day. Another bad day just occurred. Not quite as bad again. This isn't like being naked on a roof. But can you imagine borrowing a tool from somebody? And we've all had that happen, haven't we? You've borrowed something from somebody and it broke. And you feel sick in your stomach because it's like, especially if it was a valuable item, you're like, can you imagine if this axe head was passed down from several generations? This just wasn't an Ace Hardware thing. This was a... And you're just be feeling sick inside your stomach. Have you ever broke something with someone else's? Where you know that feeling where you're just like, ooh. Well, we see that in this story right here. All they were going to do is cut down some wood, be able to pitch some tents and begin to live near one another. And then this happens. As they're cutting down the entire head, that iron head went flying. In fact, that's almost like a comedy to me. You're starting to swing that hatchet, and there goes the iron. Plunk right into the water, just like Pastor Randy's golf shot in the baptismal tank. It's gone. And it's so amazing when you just sit there and you just... And I just laugh at this, because so many times we read Scripture and we read it so spiritually. You know? You know what I mean when I say spiritually? We get that spiritual intenseness about us. I love that. And yet, so many times we read it and it's just, there's parts, it's just funny. But what would an axe head, why would God care about a piece of iron falling into the piece of the river? Why would we have to devote some task that even amazingly gets recorded in Scripture? I think that that small, funny piece of history is there for a very significant reason. First off, there's several reasons. I'm going to give you three this morning, because I think it'll encourage us to go after all that God has for us in our journey. One is to remind us that God does care for all the little things in our life. So many times we can focus on the big things, but God does want you to know that He not only focuses on the big, but He focuses on the small too. Just not the macro, but He focuses on the micro too. The very small line of definition, the defining lines in our life, He cares about as well. The trivial things He cares about. Some of the things that we hadn't even given immense thought to yet. Isn't that a great thing as we start approaching Thanksgiving here in the next few weeks? Is that we can approach it knowing, God, not only thank you for the things, the bounty that I can see, the things that we have, but God, may I even have a greater appreciation for the smaller things that you've taken care of that I may not have even given you time to say thank you. God cares for the small things. He cares also for the insignificant things. God loves the insignificant. That's one of the things when you look throughout Scripture. Who did God use? Think of the people that Jesus chose. He chose people that the world would say are insignificant. They weren't the most polished people. I'm sure Jesus could have found more people with different abilities to be His disciples. But He chose those 12 carefully, because He saw something. He again went to the heart of availability than just looking at ability. And there's so many times when we begin to talk about stepping out into new things that God has for you, not only sharing about who Christ is, but actually getting in there and being and growing into the deeper things that God is calling you to do. When He asks you to take that stand, when He begins to challenge you just to grow in your spiritual walk with Him, He wants you to know He's going to walk with you in every single step. And I love this. To think that that iron head went plunk right into the river. And I mean, that's just an amazing scene, isn't it? Watch a prophet Elisha finally go, well, okay, watch Elijah walk over and go, okay, where was it? Tell me exactly where it was. Cuts off a stick. And I mean, just the whole thing. Throwing it in the river. And all of a sudden, watch that axe head just pop up like a piece of sponge and float there. God wants to remind you that He not only sees that, the small things, but He also will have the power to make what He's telling you happen. God wants you to know that when He begins to speak, when He begins to speak to you, His supernatural power will be at work in your life. The things that you say, I can't do, you're right, you can't do it. But the power of the Holy Spirit and Jesus working in your life, He can do it. And the things where you think that you fall short, the inadequacies that you have, the regrets from things already in the past, I hear that a lot from teenagers. God can't use me on my campus because you don't know about my past. You don't know about the family that I come from. Think back a couple years ago to Corydon, Iowa, a little town in Iowa. It helped Iowa get their 7 projects started a few years ago. And the homecoming queen Her name was Misty. She came up to me after her school assembly, and she just had tears streaming down her face, and she goes, "Thank you for coming to my school, because I feel like you came here just for me. You came here just for me." And she goes, "Thank you." And she kept saying, "Thank you, thank you." And I'm like, "Misty, you can say thank you enough. We knew we're here for some students. We knew that. You're one of them." She came to our evening event, rededicated her life to Christ. And she again kept saying, "Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming." And I'm like, "You don't have to say thank you anymore, Misty. We're here. That's why." And she just goes, "I just can't believe you came." She goes, "But now I know why you really came here." Got an email from her the next day, and she goes, "I really have to tell you why I'm so glad you came to my school." And it's one of those, Reggie will do the same thing when he's here in your schools next week. He'll get on a topic that he had no clue thinking about talking about. In that school in Corydon, I just happened to start talking about cutting. I don't know why. Why would I talk about cutting in a small rural town in Iowa? But I did. Misty, turns out, was a cutter. She's one of the head cheerleaders. She's one of those students. Adults, you'll understand when you think back to your graduating class in school, do you remember those people? And what I mean by those people, it's the people that you just got sick of because it seemed like everything they did touched gold. You know, like they could do sports real well and you struggled at it. They could play at instruments flawlessly and you can't carry a tune. You understand? I mean, like, it seemed like they were always getting straight A's and we're the straight C's. Now, some of you are some of those. Okay. But that Misty was one of those. And everything she touched. She was Miss Popularity in the school. That's why she was the homecoming queen. She was attractive. I mean, she has the whole pack. Her family was from a well-to-do family. In fact, her dad was a very influential attorney in the whole county. And you just sit back and you go, wow, she's got it all. In fact, that's what her friends basically all said too. Except they didn't know all the secrets that Misty had. And as Misty began to share with me in her email that she was a cutter, she goes, "You're only the second person I've shared that with. I've shared it with my boyfriend and now you." And she goes, "The amazing thing is I wanted to quit, but I didn't know how." And she goes, "Now with the power of Christ in my life," she goes, "from that day, I have not felt another urge." She goes, "It's been amazing. I feel different." And it was fun to be able to walk with her because I said, "I'm giving you 2 weeks to tell your parents." and I'm making a call. And it was fun to walk with her in her journey. And she's now studying to be a teacher. She wants to make a difference in generations. She's ready to go back into a school to be a teacher. And in fact, the guidance counselor told me throughout her senior year that she was like having basically like a teen guidance counselor because she began telling students all over her secret. And it was freaking people out going, "You? But you have it all. Why would you cut? Why?" And she could just begin to share with them the emotions that she had feeling inside, and some of it was the unworthiness, and just felt like she felt trapped, and the only way she could release all that tension and pressure was just to begin to cut. See, it's amazing, even in a service like today, how many people have stayed trapped by the things that they felt and the regrets that they've had with their life. And if they just keep opening themselves to Christ, He will help heal those. See, the great thing is Misty has scars. She doesn't have cuts anymore. They're not an active cut. They're scars. She can show them that there's been hurts in the past, but they're healed. And that's what we all can be if we're going to be willing to be an axe head. See, you are an axe head. Not saying you're dumb like a piece of iron. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is you're precious to the Lord. God sees each one of you, and He knows that He has a plan, a purpose, a value for every single one of you in this place today. He's not forgotten you. In the midst of all that's happened in our country in the last couple weeks, He's not forgotten you. He's going to lead you into a new thing. Are you going to be willing to have the courage to step into it? Are you going to have the courage to be willing to hang on there in those times of faith? And the last thing that I see here
is not only the power, but I see that God wants to increase our faith. Increasing our faith to believe in Him and to trust Him. Wouldn't that have been amazing to be there to watch that axe head come up? Wouldn't it have been amazing to be around when Jesus performed some of the miracles? Wouldn't it have been cool to be at the wedding when that water turned to wine and you had been able to watch the workers fill it with water and somehow it turns out to be some of the greatest wine and you're just sitting there going, no way, this is so cool. I mean, it would have been so amazing. And yet the amazing part is we may not be able to go back into time and be able to do that, but we can be in the very same place to watch God turn the ordinary waters of our life into extraordinary wine to be poured out into the life of others. He desires that for each and every one of us here today. Are we going to be open to it? Are we going to be willing to step out and say, God, do that in my life? For those who are courageous, to those who are willing. And when I say courageous, that doesn't mean that you go do it and it's just so easy. It's just like what my wife and I have been the last several months. Wobble kneed. Just saying, God, I'm trusting you. You've not let us down before, and I know you won't today. Because He knows where you're at. And see, it's going to be so easy to keep making a difference in our communities today. That's why I love what we're going to be doing nationally with these teenagers. Because right now we have 15,000 teenagers across the country. Man, we're just scratching the surface. I think in the next several years we could raise up easily 40,000 teenagers. See, I like simple math. I hate big math. All right, algebra? Okay, don't worry, I flunked it too. But I like simple math. If 40,000 students, because we challenge each campus missionary to begin to pray for five unsafe friends and look for an opportunity this next school year to share, or whether personally or to let them hear a clear presentation of the gospel. And see, some of those students' prayers are going to come out next week. Next several days, teenagers, you can be inviting your friends, encouraging them to be at the Monday night thing with Reggie next week. And be praying hard that God will use that school assembly to connect them and they'll come back to the evening event. You'll be amazed at who comes. You'll be amazed at who doesn't. But you'll be amazed at who will. And what's so fun is if each of those 40,000 students would win five friends for Christ, and then that whole group reaches five, we will have reached a million teenagers just like that. And you know what's amazing is that's very possible. In fact, I'm putting it at the realm of probable. The dream is too small. What is God wanting to dream in your life? Because if you're willing to take a step, God will do more than supply everything you need. So later today, I'm not a long-winded preacher. I'm about done. Here's the amazing part. I'm not like Pastor Randy. I'm just teasing. One of the fun things is you have an opportunity when Pastor Randy gets done every Sunday. You guys get done about this time. Isn't it amazing? You have time to get home, call up a friend on the phone, say, hey, let's watch the Packer game today. Come on over. Let's watch the Viking game. If we want to reach our culture together, it's spending time with people. And as they begin to watch God become even more real in your life, you'll be amazed. I want to close with this video. Can I show you a non-spiritual video? Pastor Randy's away. Is it okay? I don't want Pastor Randy coming back going, stinking missionaries. All right. This video is another example for me of telling you about my heroes of teenagers. In fact, I found this on the CBS Evening News. Some of you will remember this story because as it went nationwide, not only on CBS, it was on CNN, it was on everything. In fact, Disney even bought this young boy's story rights that if they ever wanted to make a movie of it, they would. But see, we're all going to get opportunities with our life. It's what we're going to do with that opportunity that's going to make a difference. I love a well-known quote that says, you got to seize the opportunity of the lifetime in the lifetime of the opportunity. Each day, we're given an opportunity, and we'll never get it back. Today, we've been given a God-given opportunity that you can go home and invite a friend over, even a coworker. Seriously, if we're going to sit there and say, we really want to see them come to Christ, when was the last time you invited that coworker, even that lost family member, over to your house just to hang out? Not so you can drill them about the gospel. When was the last time you just did it to hang out, grilling out on the grill? I can't. My wife can bake. I can't. Even if it's inviting them over to fake bake. That means going to the grocery store, taking the pie out of the tin and put it in your own pie, you know, pie plate. Doing the fake bake thing, passing it off as your own. It works, trust me. But it's doing those things where you're just spending time. Those will make a difference because they'll see the difference in your life and they'll want it. I want you to watch this video of a young man named Jason. And because you know what? The things that make us different, every one of us in here has those things that when I say, what makes you different in a negative way? Many of you can already begin to think of weaknesses in your life. And you lock in on them and you almost don't want to look at them or think about them. Because some of them, they're painful. The great thing is with God, He'll make those weaknesses your strength. Watch this video from the CBS Evening News.
We had planned to bring you a story tonight about a kind of prep school that prepares football players for the NFL draft and big contracts. But we're going to call an audible. We're going to switch sports tonight because we've run across an absolutely amazing basketball player that we want you to see. Here's Steve Hartman.
Greece Athena High School in Rochester, New York, has a new, most unlikely hero, a special ed student by the name of Jason McElwain.
Let's keep it going.
Jason is the basketball team manager. For the past couple years, he's been assisting coach Jim Johnson, helping with whatever the team needs.
Ready and go!
Get him motivated and hand out water and just be enthusiastic.
Enthusiastic, to say the least. Despite being born with autism, Jason's father says his son has never had a problem expressing himself at basketball games.
You know, I was always concerned that he might get a technical and they lose a game because he, you know, start yelling or whatever.
Let's have a hard practice tomorrow, all hour and a half, and let's get ready for Arcadia. Okay. Let's go.
One, two, three, two.
Because he has been so devoted to the team, for the last game of the season, Coach Johnson decided to let Jason actually suit up. Not to play necessarily, just to let him feel what it's like to wear a jersey. At least that was the plan. But with 4 minutes to go in last week's game, Coach Johnson stood up and pointed to number 52, Jason McElwain. After years of fetching water and toweling off other people's sweat, Jason was actually in a game. His first shot was a 20-footer from the right baseline.
Was it close? Did you almost make it?
I just airballed it.
I'm like, just, dear God, please, let's just get him a basket.
His second shot missed too, but the third was a charm. A three-point no-doubter. And Jason wasn't done yet. Not by a long shot.
If I wasn't there to witness it, I wouldn't have believed it, you know.
You caught fire.
I just caught fire. I was hot as a pistol.
Jason ended up shooting 6 three-pointers. One right after the other. He had 20 points total, and each time a shot went in, his teammates and the crowd went a little crazier. His last basket, right at the buzzer, created total mayhem. Because he is autistic, Jason says he's used to feeling different, but never this different. Never this wonderful. Steve Hartman, CBS News, Rochester, New York.
Never so different. All of a sudden, that difference can be celebrated. See, God wants to do that in all of our life. Is that all those differences that we look at as a negative, that we want to hide behind a mask and not let people see? All the nasty things that we would think that people would be repulsed at. See, when it's given over to Jesus, it's something that can be celebrated. Not flaunting the fault, but exalting the God that can change the faults to victories. The difference. Is that something that we not all desire? Say, God, use my differences. This week as you go, students, as you go to your school, just be you. Don't put on any mask than being anybody else but you. And God will use you incredibly. Adults, as you go to your workplace, as you go to your neighborhoods here in a few minutes, you're going to be like me. If I went home right now back to Waupaca, Wisconsin, where we're at now till our house sells. In fact, I know this is going to do, this is the one part that scares me about Springfield. I have one neighbor in Waupaca. I'm going to have a whole neighborhood, I bet, when I move to Springfield because it's kind of redneck down there. But I can go back to my neighborhood. I could go home today and one of my neighbors has his wife beater t-shirt, you know what I'm saying, tank top type t-shirt. He'll be walking out there. I'll wave at him. He'll have his Miller Lite in his hand. I say hi. He just belches back. Okay, that's my neighbor. All right. Man, I'll be in Springfield. I'm going to have a whole bunch of those. How are you doing? Please, Lord, don't let my sons be like that. How are you doing? You know what? God even wants to reach those. Are we going to be willing to take time to walk over? And it's been some fun conversations, trust me, over the last 7 years that I've had with Bernie across the street. God wants you to have those moments with them too. And he'll use all the differences in your life to be used as a proof that there's a God that has a plan for them. Because all of a sudden they start seeing all the things about you and they'll say, you know what, if he doesn't have it all together. I watch him work on the car. I watch him do the home improvements. Yeah, that guy doesn't have his life together. Doesn't even know how to swing a hammer. He'll look at all of our weaknesses and be able to see through how we have a God that we're holding on to and is carrying us through. They'll start to see it. But they will only see it. And they'll only be able to know of a God that has a plan for their life too. A real God. Not a religious God, not a God that makes them come and forces them to worship, but a God that has a choice, set it up where we can freely respond and have a relationship with. That's what it's all about.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is the ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.